Ben Wagner back in the radio booth tonight. He will call tonight's game and the remainder of the games this season on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And my understanding is, and by my understanding, I mean, I stalk Ben on Twitter and he takes photos of big Toronto landmarks. And that's how I know he's back in town. So my understanding is you're actually back in town. My question is, who let you in?
I don't know the layers of processing that had to clear me to somehow allow me to not only cross this border, but also be connected to Florida, Florida, Florida. but somehow, all the stars have aligned. The border guards were great, and we're back. And this is as normal as I think it's going to feel in a really, really long time for baseball again on the radio.
And Ben, just from a personal perspective, I'm sure as a little kid you've got a bucket list and you're thinking to yourself, I want to be a broadcaster. So I check a box. I ride some buses for a few years. I call some minor league games. Now I'm calling a Major League Baseball team. And I want to call some playoff games for that Major League Baseball team. Man, what would it be like to call some World Series games for that Major League Baseball team? I bet when you were a kid, you didn't think, there's going to come a night where I'm in a broadcast booth and 15,000 people is going to be the max capacity of a 48-some thousand-seat stadium as that Major League Baseball team comes home for the first time in almost 2 years because of a worldwide pandemic. This experience that you and 15,000 fans in the house will share tonight will never be repeated.
Hopefully not. No, and this is unthinkable. The entire course that you plot, you dream about, you think, can you conquer this mountain that stands in front of you when you come out of university, thinking about the career path that you're plotting for yourself, and is this dream really attainable? Are you going to have a couple of doors just absolutely accidentally open for you to bring you to this spot, and then whatever, you know, the normalcy of 2019 is long forgotten, and then we endure so much. And, you know, I'm very fortunate enough to have the opportunity to be at Rogers Center. It's never lost on me how important the listeners are to everything that we do from a broadcast perspective each and every day. And that's why, Dan and Tabby and Buck, and we all work so hard talking with coaches and players on the field to bring you the most well-rounded broadcast we can. And have that connection to the fan through us. And we're fortunate enough, you know, with the way things are, to be on the field and be closer to the team than we ever have since the pandemic started. You know, going all the way back to the middle of March in 2020, we have not been this close to anybody, but fortunately, we're there, and now we get to do it for the fans again, and that's the most important.
When you look at the Jays' home record versus the Yankees, Rays, and Red Sox, they're at 500, you got the Yankees 27-23, Rays 31-20, Red Sox 33-22. Do you think this could be the difference where the Jays could gain ground? The fact that they are coming home, they are going to be at Rogers Center, back in a lot of their homes, something they're familiar with. Is this the one thing maybe that's missing from the team this year?
Don't let this fool you. You know, don't look at that home record and think that they were actually home games. It was really unfortunate in the atmosphere and frustrating for the guys that I talked to when I was in Buffalo, and I had a chance to be there for an entire week in Western New York, and the Yankee series was really frustrating for everyone, coaches, executives, players especially, feeling like you are an outsider wearing your home whites or your powder blues. Go back to the games that were played in Dunedin. A ruckus Rays crowd arrived in a tiny little ballpark on the shores of the Gulf in Florida. And then you had the Atlanta series and really the Philly series. They were glaring in terms of the fan base that are all transplants and living down there. And of course, Atlanta is a hotbed in that area, you know, for their longevity being in the Southeast. There are a lot of games where the Blue Jays were not the favorite team. And while you could hear some murmurs when Vlad or Bo came to the plate, or, you know, sprinkles of George Springer here and there, you know, people that were excited, it was never a ruckus crowd like the Blue Jays are going to experience. Is it going to make a difference? It absolutely is going to make a difference that this team takes the field tonight at Rogers Center. And all the emotion, the investment, the longing to return to Toronto, all the comforts that have been afforded to these guys, some of them are very familiar with the confines. Others have no idea what they're getting in for. And almost over half the roster has no idea what they're getting in for. So this is going to be a very special appearance for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I have a feeling the 15,000 assembled will not let them down tonight.
And it's like the re-debuts of Vladdy and Bo Bichette and guys like that, Kevin Biggio, guys who came up in 2019. And the fact that Vladdy reemerges in Toronto as, if not the preeminent young star in the game, in that grouping, Ben, with Fernando Tatis Jr. and Juan Soto and a name or two that should roll off my tongue that's escaping me right now. But, like, he is right there and has become everything this team hoped he would be.
He is a different guy from when he left the field on September the 29th in 2019. Think about the turnaround for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the eye rolls with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. that were happening in that 2019 season. And people were kind of wondering, like, what were we buying into the hype? Were we sold a bill of goods here? Well, guess who's coming back? Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a guy that has a chance to win a triple crown, a reprocessed, a re-engineered Vladimir Guerrero Jr., not the guy that you saw at third base. Now he's playing first base. Now he's got this magic wand. And if that homer last night doesn't wet the palate a little bit to watch Vladimir Guerrero Jr. finally return to the turf at Rogers Center, you haven't been paying attention, because this guy is completely different. And now he is in the upper echelon of major league talent. Forget the young stars. I mean, he is the absolute most dominant hitter, wire to wire, to this point in the season right now, with what he's doing with bat to ball, and very rarely looking overmatched like he was when he left Toronto in 2019. This is a different guy. And yes, with Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are the top three young players in the game, but I'm going to put him right out there with anybody that is dominating the game, whether they're a 10-year vet or they're just beginning their career. And Vladdy is just beginning his career.
The Jays acquired Brad Hand from Washington in exchange for Riley Adams. 21 saves on the year. What do you expect Hand to really change with the Jays coming out of the bullpen? Is this maybe making an impact right away, or is this just another bullpen arm that can give them a little bit more depth?
No, this is an impact arm. This is a guy that's going to get opportunity, and another really well-executed trade for the Toronto Blue Jays. With Richards, with Simber, and now with Brad Hand coming in here, those are three key acquisitions, because you could see the deficiency in the Blue Jays' bullpen, the inconsistency with pitch execution, and it comes down to throwing quality strikes. And they've got three guys now in that bullpen as complements to other players that, you know, had been in high leverage situations and given plenty of opportunity, but they've also teetered in that opportunity. For me, when Hand gets here, and there's a little bit of processing that has to go through the border and paperwork, and Charlie Montoya spoke with me about it yesterday, it may take a little bit longer than the Blue Jays just arriving on the charter like they did last night. I think they let him get his feet wet just to make sure there hasn't been enough downtime in between appearances, but it won't be long until he's looking for the last three outs of a Blue Jays victory. And that's the stability that this bullpen needs. As electric as Jordan Romano has been at times, we've also seen him kind of wane from a dominant performance. He was great in Boston, but that's the first time in about 6 weeks that he's looked that dominant. And the Blue Jays need somebody that they can rely on, and they think they found it with the way that Hand has pitched. And the splits, too. Remember, you got to face three batters. He's not going to be come in and get the final out of an inning and move on from there. He's going to be a guy that they look at to lock it down.
With Ben Wagner on leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So I'm interested in going down this road a little bit further regarding usage and the domino effect. It is your opinion, and maybe an informed opinion, Ben, depending on who you've talked to, that Hand will become the closer? Is that your sense?
That's my sense.
He's got
Absolutely.
21 saves for Washington. I know he's had a bit of a bumpy ride here in the last couple weeks, but okay, so he's going to close. Like, I remember talking to Drew Storen, of all people. There's a random name pulling out of the hat. But Drew Storen, when he was here in 16, and he had closed and done a pretty good job for Washington and Cincinnati prior to arriving with the Blue Jays, but they had a closer, the Jays did at the time, Roberto Osuna. And Storen was saying to me, he said, like, you know, I don't mind, I'm not offended, I don't mind personally that I'm no longer the closer for the major league team for which I'm pitching, but my routine, I need to adjust my routine, I need to adjust to the adjustment of my routine. When you're the closer, you've got a sense in the sixth or seventh inning, score of game, where they're at in the lineup, the likelihood of what, how it's all going to play out. But he said, when you're a seventh or an eighth inning high leverage guy, by the fourth or fifth inning, you got to start figuring that stuff out. Do I start to loosen my arm a little bit? Do I want to play catch? Do I get hot on the mound? And if I do that, I can't do that too often or I'll burn out before I even get into the game, and that could affect me tomorrow. And the way he was explaining all of this stuff, Ben, it was like, my God, he's so deep into his head, that in and of itself may be a problem. So from a domino effect perspective, given that Jordan Romano has struggled in back-to-back appearances or hasn't really done a lot of the threes and fours, is he suited to being available as a high-leverage guy leading into Brad Hand over the final 2 months of the season?
I think he will be. I don't have any hesitation to say that he will. And remember, he's done this before, right? A lot of save opportunities have gone to Rafael Dolis over the last year and a half. So this isn't going to be new experiences for Romano, but it's a little bit more thinking and it's a little bit more plotting. And one of the things that the Blue Jays have done and making sure that their guys are prepared for the best case scenario, one, all of the road mapping that happens, you know, at 2:30 in the afternoon. But Matt Bushman is constantly in communication with the dugout, and whether it's John Schneider, who's the major league coach, and really in the year of Pete Walker and Charlie Montoyo as the game's progressing, he's talking with Matt Bushman. Like, they're talking through all of these things and looking at the different scenarios, and that's why you see a very active Matt Bushman. I'd love to put a step counter on Matt Bushman, one of the GPS trackers, because he's constantly walking back and forth on that bullpen bench, you know, talking with guys and plotting out scenarios of where guys could potentially be two or three innings down the road. And that's why you see him talking to so many players. And even that conversation continues when guys are warming up, you know, because he's just constantly feeding them data and situations. So I think, one, they're never going to put Jordan Romano into a position where he won't succeed. But he's also been there. And that's where I think, you know, now with some consistency, and I feel with Osuna in the roles that were established, even Ken Giles when he was here, that was a pretty defined role. When Ken Giles was here and who would back him up on those given days if guys were available, they knew when they potentially could be going into a game. So there will be no surprises. And I think the mental gymnastics that Romano or anybody would have to go through to this point are going to be considerably diminished.
If the Jays don't make any more significant moves today, is this team, can they get that wild card spot? Do you see them making a little bit of run, or is it like no chance if they don't go out and get any more arms or don't make a big splash today?
They'd love to make a big splash. They really do. Talking with people in the organization, they are feverishly working, but it will not come at a long-term cost for this franchise to pull off a deal. They trust the offense. They know that they could improve the offense. They could improve, you know, get a thumping bat at third base. That would be ideal. They could always improve behind the plate and get somebody that's a little bit more consistent. And I really think that that catching depth is not as deep as what we were led to believe. And I think it's pretty evident that it's not as deep as what we were led to believe, because you need to improve the mobility and overall handedness behind the plate that the Blue Jays have when you get a catcher at the plate. It's been sort of an empty hole now for two straight years. So they know that they can at least improve the lineup that's already very deep, but this lineup has not excelled to its maximum capacity yet. This lineup still has a run to power the Blue Jays rattling off 12 of 15, 18 maybe out of 20. I still think the best offensive performance is to come from the Blue Jays. And who knows? Maybe Roger Center is the spark that'll get it done. We'll find out starting tonight. But ideally, I think a bullpen piece and maybe even a starter would be on the wish list. And then you get into tinkering with who can go out there on the field for you every day. But if they don't pull off this big blockbuster trade, this season is not a write-off for me. They still have a lot of baseball and a good baseball, a big chunk of good baseball to play.
Yeah, still more of a third of the season to go here before it comes to a conclusion. Well, the authorities have been alerted. Ben, you're back in town. It's going to be great to hear your voice on the radio tonight, calling the game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It'll be a vibe. It will be in a sad way, but also in a happy way. Just sad because of the reasons why it's been this way. But it will be a historic moment, and it's awesome that you're going to be a part of it.
I am thankful to be there and bring it to everybody. Can't wait to see everybody on the radio starting tonight.